Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And verse number 24. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 24. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. You'll notice what we have read. While men slept, his enemy came. Second reading in the Gospel, in the same Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We won't read the entire passage. Verse number 1, Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their vessels and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. We're going to come back to the New Testament, but I'd like to read in the book of Genesis, chapter 19. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 19. Verse number 15, we'll just break in on the account. Some angels have been sent to the city of Sodom, called Sodom, and they're speaking to a man by the name of Lot. They're in his home, actually, and in verse number 15 of Genesis chapter 19, it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. One final reading in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I trust that God will bless what we've been hearing, along with what we have just concluded in reading. I'd like to speak very simply tonight of what I would term some of the realities linked with passing time. Or I could say these are intervals of time. We're living, at least the way I find it, we're living in a very complex age. Seems that things are happening so fast, and while you're paying attention to one thing on this side, something else is happening over here. My parents have spoken to me about a simpler day, a simpler time. Well, I'm not sure that life was ever simple. But I'm sure it was a little bit slower, and maybe just a little bit more focused. But we're living in a multidimensional age, aren't we? The computer age, the nuclear age. And tonight, as we preach the gospel, there are forces, there are powers that are moving, that are unseen to the naked eye, but are very real. In fact, the Bible puts it this way, what is seen is temporal. What is not seen is eternal. Most of us are geared to what we see. That's the hands-on world. But beyond that world, the world of business, the world of commerce, the world of pleasure, the world of family ties and all of that, there is that which God calls real. There is that which is linked with His own person, with His power. There is spiritual activity that is ongoing. And what is not seen is eternal. And that's exactly what we are dealing with, not only in these passages, but in the Word of God. God speaks to each one of us. We can't see Him tonight with these eyes. But we are dealing with a God who is real, who is alive, who is actively involved in the affairs of man, and who has drawn near to us in wonderful grace. We've been hearing of destinies that we can't see with these eyes, but they are real. And as the gospel is preached, you are being faced with the ultimate of all issues. And God again reminds us what we see, what we're involved with tonight, as far as hands-on is concerned, is only temporary. Everything we touch tonight will pass away. Every dollar we put in the bank will ultimately be left to somebody else. But what is unseen, that comes from God's Word, has the stamp of eternity upon it. And that's why as we go about our daily routine, as we make our plans, as our day planners and our hour planners are filled, behind all of those activities and all of those pursuits, there are these intervals of time in which other realities are ongoing as well. We have read in Matthew chapter 13 about an interval of satanic activity. The Lord Jesus told this parable, and He says, while men slept, His enemy came. And tonight we want to make you aware that in these days of grace, these days of gospel preaching, there is satanic activity that is moving in mighty power. We have read in Matthew chapter 25 that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I'd like to use this by way of application tonight, because in this wonderful opportunity, this day of spiritual preparation, God has given us these days, God has given us life to prepare for eternity. While the bridegroom tarried, while he reserved coming, the tragic condition was evident. They all slumbered and slept. And sadly, that condition is seen in the lives of many people when in a day of spiritual preparation, when people should be focusing on that which has eternal value and the salvation of their soul, they are whiling away their time, unaware of the greatest need of all. We have read in Genesis chapter 19 about a man who received an urgent warning one day. He received what none of us have ever received. He received a message from an angel sent by God. He felt the touch of an angel's hand. Imagine. He had two angels sitting at his kitchen table, telling them truth. And yet, despite all that this man knew, and despite the lateness of the hour, and the urgency of the situation, the Bible says, while he lingered. And tonight we'd like to raise a warning again, because this is an interval of divine warning. A day of grace is coming to a close, and the judgment of God is drawing near. But we have read in Romans chapter 5, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in the hopelessness and helplessness of our sinnership, there is good news. And that's exactly where we... Interestingly, as he spoke to this man, he discovered that this man had come to know the salvation of his soul. And he had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior only just a year or two before, I think it was the age of 77 or 78. And they talked of God's dealings. They talked of all of God's grace to an older man like that.
Message that you would pass on if you were preaching the gospel, what would you
tell the people? And an 80-year-old blind man, a Newfoundlander, who had only recently gotten saved, he says, I would tell people one thing, I'm sure among others, but one thing. He said, I would tell people not to believe the devil. Tonight we are engaged in spiritual warfare as we preach the gospel. And while the good seed is being planted, while we are seeking to make you aware of what God says, words of life, words of salvation, words of grace, we find that the enemy is moving in, and he will seek to snatch away the word of God. He will seek to dull any sense of need, and he will seek to lull people back into a spiritual sleep that they might not be aware of their need. While they slept, the enemy came. In fact, one of the illustrations of the Bible concerning this awesome enemy is the image of a mother cradling her baby. John writes in his epistle, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the picture there is just the sense of a mother holding her wee babe. And it's just the sense that the whole world is being lulled to sleep, that they might not be aware of their true condition. And tragically, as you make your way down the road of life, God has spoken to you, but the enemy has come in. And he is seeking to rob you of the greatest of all blessings. And he is seeking to keep the blindfolds over your spiritual eyes. And he is seeking to take what God is offering and to snatch your soul away that you might be lost and lost eternally. They tell me that back in the days of the schooners, some of you older men tonight would likely know what I'm talking about. Back in the age of the schooners, the old wooden sailing ships, there was a group of men known as the spoilers. Spoilers were just land-based pirates. They didn't own ships. They didn't have to. And apparently they would go along the shoreline, and they would make, especially when there was a storm brewing and when the waves were high and when the night was dark, and they would make large bonfires on the shore. And those mariners out on the wild, dark sea, they would see those lights, and they would think that they were the light of a lighthouse, and they would set their course in accordance with those large lights, those bonfires. And before they knew what had happened, following those false lights, there would be shipwreck. And the spoilers were there to plunder the ship and to take what didn't belong to them. And tonight, along the coasts of our lives, there are spoilers put there by the enemy, seeking to get you to go this way. But it's the way of shipwreck for all eternity. And tragically, we are living in an interval of time when the enemy is moving with heightened activity and with determination and tremendous power to rob you of your greatest blessing. When we have read tonight of this day in which we're living, then it's a day of preparation. I don't know whether you have ever thought concerning your eternity. We're all on a journey. Our journey started at one point in time, and however long the journey is, there's a day coming when the journey of life will come to an end. I would suggest tonight that it'll likely come far sooner than what we anticipate. We kind of think it's down here, don't we? In fact, it's interesting that we count in terms of years, don't we? There have been all kinds of birthdays since we've come here. And we have been told how many years the individual has lived. You know what God tells him? He counts in days, not years. So teach us to number our days. And in these days of wondrous preparation, spiritual preparation, the Bible paints the picture of individuals that were asleep. Not only, friend, will our journey come to a close, but the Lord himself is going to step in. Matthew 25 has often been used as an illustration of the Lord's coming. And by way of application, we are here to tell you that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. The bridegroom is about to come. This day of grace, of wonderful opportunity and the kindness of God has run for almost 2,000 years. And God has spoken, and God has saved souls, and God is speaking tonight. But we're here to tell you that the bridegroom is coming. When he comes, a day of grace and a door of grace that is open tonight will swing shut and shut forever. That's why you need to be ready. That's why you need to prepare yourself. And yet here were individuals, and they were asleep at the switch. They were unaware of the lateness of the hour. They need to be awakened. Oh, that you'd be awakened tonight. That you'd be wise for time and wise for eternity. And it's the gospel message that will do it. A few years ago, we were having meetings in a very small portable building. It wasn't anything like this. Just two halves of a trailer put together. But into that series of meetings. Actually, it wasn't supposed to be a gospel series. It was going to be meetings for Christians. And the first night that we were there, a couple of us, we were working on a gospel hall project. We were sitting at the back. And the brother who was going to have the ministry for Christians was at the front, and he turned around and got my eye, and he gave me the little nod to come up. So I made my way up to see what he wanted, and he said, you know, there's an awful lot of people here tonight that are not saved. We're going to have to preach the gospel. Mr. Goff, I'm not ready. But he says, you've got 3 minutes. And we started preaching. And into that first meeting that Monday night came a man 65 years of age by the name of Hubert Squires. He'd never been in a gospel meeting before. In fact, he'd never been interested in a gospel meeting before. He was more interested in everything else, and I won't go into all the details. But he came Monday, and something touched his life. He came Tuesday. He came Wednesday. He came Thursday. He came Friday. And Friday night, as everybody else went out of the meeting, he just sat in his seat. So we thought, boy, something has happened. And as we sat down, we said, well, Skipper, what's on your mind? He had his voice box had been removed. He had a little apron over the hole, and he put his finger over that hole to talk to us. And I'll never forget his words. He said, I am 65 years of age. And I am not ready to meet God.
a time of spiritual preparation? Are you prepared? Is your eternity secure? Do you know Christ is your Savior? This is a time when you need to prepare. It's a time when God is speaking. Because God in His grace is giving warnings. I know sometimes, maybe it's just us Easterners, us Maritimers, that raise our voices too loud. And maybe Vancouver folk are not used to that. But you know, when there's an urgency, when there's warning, we don't want you to miss the message. And here were two angels that came with a very, very solemn, urgent warning to these individuals and to this home. The judgment or the sin of mankind had reached its zenith. The final day of grace had come for this city. There would be no tomorrow. The judgment of God was hovering and was about to fall. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not fairy tale. This is the fact, historical fact of God's words. And the entire city was unaware of what was about to fall. But into that home came these messengers. And I trust that like those two individuals, we too have come with an interest in your soul and with a desire to sound forth the warning. And despite the warning, and despite all that they told that man, the Bible puts it so dramatically, while he lingered. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight and you are lingering in a city that's destined for destruction, trying to get something more from a bankrupt world, trying to find something to satisfy, and you're forgetting about your soul. And instead of moving to Christ and receiving Him as Savior, you're lingering, you're delaying, you're holding back. And there's a great possibility that you are going to miss salvation while He lingered. And while the message is going forth, I'm looking to the faces of individuals and I'm wondering, are you going to linger in your present condition in your sins? I'm thankful for Romans 5. Because Romans 5 tells us of our great need and of heaven's great remedy. It tells us that while we were in our sins, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It tells us that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And as I read those words 28 years ago, I came to discover that God was speaking to me because those words describe me. Romans 5 tells us of our absolute helplessness. Without strength, we can't save ourselves in 1% of 1%. We can't do anything to take away any of our sins. Because all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds that seem so good in our eyes are as filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God that we've been hearing of. We are helpless. And Paul goes on to convey truth that while we were yet sinners, that brings before us our guilt. And with that guilt has come hopelessness. Helpless and hopeless. A little over a year ago, January of 1998, there was a container vessel that was making its way across the Atlantic. The name of that vessel was the Flare. I'm not sure of the country from which it had sailed, but it was heading toward the coast of Newfoundland and the storm was raging. Anybody who's ever been on the Atlantic seas in the month of January will know that it's heavy water. Rough seas, high winds. Those 24 sailors had gone to bed that night. And there was, of course, the pilot and the captain or whoever was on board up on the deck there, the steersman. They were making their way, and light was not too far off. It was about 4:30 in the morning. When all of a sudden those sailors were not wakened by the call to the galley. Those men were wakened up by what seemed to be a rifle shot. The sound of a crack was heard. And as those men stumbled from their bunks and came up on deck, they saw a sight they couldn't take in. That crack had actually split the boat in two. There were two sections. And most of those men found themselves on the section that was going down. January seas. Half a ship. They were helpless. And friend, they were hopeless. They were hopeless. Those men did whatever they could. But it was to no avail. And as the story has unfolded, somehow there were four men that were picked up in a makeshift life raft, picked up by another vessel. As they were taken off to St. Pierre, Miquelon, the French islands off the Newfoundland coast, they were not only rescued, but they were brought to safety. And as they came across to Newfoundland at a later date, they were speaking to a couple of my friends. And I said, what did they say? He said, all they could say was, thank you, thank you, thank you. For helpless sinners and hopeless sinners, I'm thankful to tell you there's a Savior who is drawn alongside. Your ship is sinking. You are in the helplessness of your sinnership. And yet, in the midst of the greatness of our needs, when we had nothing to commend ourselves to God, there was one who came. He was known as the Savior. And he went to dark Calvary to seek and to save that which is lost and to pay the tremendous price of sin. And the Bible tells us Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. And if you're willing and simple enough to take God at His word and to trust the Savior, you will find the salvation that God alone has provided. It's found in a person, the Lord Jesus. It's centered in His work. His death has paid the tremendous price of sin. And as we've been hearing, God is satisfied and both just and the justifier of every individual that will receive Christ. 28 years ago, as a guilty, lost, helpless, hell-deserving sinner, I found salvation in Christ. He rescued me. He saved me. And for all eternity, I will thank Him. And I will praise Him. And I will be thrilled in His presence because He came alongside and He rescued a poor sinner like me. As we close this meeting, the same Savior that saved me and so many in this meeting desires to save you as well. Because Christ died for sinners, shall we pray? Father, we pray Thy blessing upon all who have come and upon Thy word. We've been hearing of the awesome holiness of God. And Lord, it only makes us aware of our guilt and of the fact that we can't approach Thee the way we are tonight. Yet we thank Thee for the Savior who's come to where we are and in wondrous grace has done a work for us at the place called Calvary. And we're thankful, Father, that when we were helpless and hopeless, Christ died for us. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon all who have come. We thank thee for the attention given thy word. And we would pray that as we make our way homes now, that thou wilt speak by the Spirit of God in mighty power. And the Lord, that there might be those that would be awakened tonight to seek the Lord while he may be found. Bless the gospel in this city, we pray tonight, as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn 100 tonight, in closing, 100. I stand before the wounded Lamb, the lowly Savior crucified, and I repeat with thankful heart, it was for me the Savior died. He bore my sins there on the cross. I should have suffered endless loss. He took my place, the crucified. It was for me the Savior died. Just the first two verses of this wonderful hymn, hymn number 100. Again, our thanks for your presence tonight. Remember the meetings tomorrow and all through this week at 8 o'clock. And we certainly invite you to come back. And if you have questions concerning anything that's been said or anything that's upon your mind concerning God's salvation, don't hesitate to speak to us. We would certainly consider it a privilege to open up God's Word and explain the fullness of God's salvation. Verses 1 and 2, hymn number 100.